to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. And Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. So today we observe the celebration of the Ascension of the Lord, what used to be on last Thursday, that is now observed in most dioceses in the United States on Sunday. And we're asked to reflect on what is actually happening today. I would invite you to consider the roller coaster that the apostles and the disciples of Jesus have been on for the last couple of months. First of all, Jesus calls them, right? He calls them to be his followers. And they spend 3 years with him in what seems to be a very intimate kind of relationship, spending days with him, you know, day and night probably. They would travel around Judea and Samaria together, and he would be teaching, and they would be listening to him. Of course, they come to Jerusalem. He's received exultantly by the people of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And very quickly, things change, and he is accused, he is convicted, he is sentenced to death and crucified and dies. Imagine what it would have been like if you were his follower and you witnessed that. We get a glimpse of that in the story of the two disciples that are on their way to Emmaus. They're dejected and they have given up because they've had enough. They really can't figure out what this is all for. And then word comes, Jesus is risen from the dead. And again, you're excited and glad because the Lord is here and he's appearing. And you spend another 40 days with him. During those 40 days, granted, he talks about how he's going to go away and how he's going to send his Holy Spirit to be the one who informs us for everything that we need to know. But then comes the moment when Jesus ascends into heaven. He's gone again. Well, I really don't know what that looks like. I mean, there are paintings. I think that's the power of art, isn't it? That the painting itself tries to describe the mystery that happens. Did he go up? I don't know. Did he kind of dissolve into a cloud? I don't know. I'm not sure heaven is up. In the physical world, we know that there's nothing but space, right? But whatever that looked like, he's gone. And he went, obviously, to a place because he said that he would go and prepare a place for us. And we know that in his glorified body and the Blessed Virgin Mary, there has to be a place that can support our human life beyond death. So imagine yourself watching him go. The reality of this is, as I think about this, in your experience as an apostle or a disciple of Jesus, he died once physically in the way that we can see. It was violent. It was bloody. There was no question in our minds that he was dead. But what's different about that experience and the experience that you now see as Jesus leaves? Certainly, it's less violent, but the reality is it's the same because you're mourning the loss of a person a second time. It's like a second death to see him go. And I was thinking about that. I was, you know, we have so many homilies for funerals during the year. And it's sort of like trying to talk to people who are mourning the loss of someone they love. They didn't see their loved one ascend into heaven. They certainly saw their loved one die. But it's that same emotion. And it reminded me of a homily that I remember from when I was a seminarian. I think I was probably a seminarian in a parish, and I heard a priest give a funeral homily. It was an interesting homily. And he was talking about death as kind of using, he used the metaphor of immigrants who were forced to leave Ireland at the time during the famine. I think some 3 million people, was it 3 million people who immigrated? Over 1 million people died. And it was a time of great sadness. And people would go down to the docks. My own ancestors came from the city of Cork. Or they didn't come from Cork, but they immigrated out of the port of Cork or Cove. And imagine yourself standing on the dock watching that ship sail with your loved ones on it. I mean, there weren't cell phones, and there I guess you could maybe write letters and hope that people would get one, but you were pretty much saying goodbye to people who were still alive. And as you watched that ship, as the homily went, as you watched that ship sail further and further away, because of the curve of the earth, you would see the ship sink over the horizon. Little by little, suddenly you could no longer see it at all. And you had that experience of goodbye, farewell. But as the homily went, he said, there were people on the other shore that began to see the ship come up from the horizon, little by little, as it would become more visible and come closer. There were people on the other side to receive whoever it was that was passing on that ship and welcome them. I always found this to be a most comforting message, that when we die, we find that there is, in fact, a place for us. There is a place and a community to receive us. A community and a place. So today, I would like to invite our ushers, if you now distribute packets for our capital campaign, please, to one to every family who is here today. What we're trying to do here at St. Bernadette is we're trying to make a place for a community to thrive. I've had this constant experience, especially even now. It's the middle of May, and people are already putting in requests for space for ministries for next fall. Believe it or not, we're already fighting over the two meeting places that we have in the parish. And if we want to be a community, we just can't continue to go on like this. We've got to have a center where we can have meetings, where we are able to gather as a community to do what we need to do, not only for ourselves. I mean, just think about the formation, the lack of formation that we have in the church today. There's so many misunderstandings and judgments that take place. People that we reject because we don't really understand what we're supposed to be here for. If we were able to have a center where we would have the kind of formation, not only for ourselves, like I said, but even to have a facility where we would be able to be a center of outreach for the community around us. But we simply don't have that right now. When I have to schedule a meeting, we have the Bradigan room only. That can maybe accommodate about 50 people. And then I've got two other meeting rooms that will accommodate maybe a dozen people. The CYO sports program is already saying that they are frustrated and feel unappreciated because the parish needs to use the gymnasium every once in a while for a parish function. And it breaks into the CYO sports program. So even the school, we've got a big school up there, but it's used all the time. And we don't have what we need. And this capital campaign is something that we're going to do just this once. Today is the only day we're going to ask you to, in church anyway, to open your hearts and to contribute to something that is so necessary for our parish. Before we begin this process, and only take a few minutes, I want to thank all of you who have made a commitment to this current campaign already, and thank all the parish families who supported the first campaign 5 years ago for our Parish Life Center. You may have noticed on your way in, we've got some graphics there. The good news is that phase two, we've already received pledges and gifts over $1 million. That's in the past month, which is amazing. So thank you. We still have $2 million to go in order to accomplish this goal. That first $1 million, by the way, came from 98 families in the parish. And we have 4,100 families in this parish that need to step up and help us to accomplish this goal. So, at this time, I think I would like you to open this envelope. We have it in an envelope so that your response can be confidential. Nobody has to see what you've done. There's a pencil also inside. So if you would please take out this pledge card, everybody, because you'll see there's a purpose for what we're doing here, too. Even if you've already made a pledge, I'd like you to take it out. Beyond being able to do the work of God better, your faithful generosity is also a blessing for you. And I want this moment to be a decision of faith for you that you feel great about. I know that every person here might not be able to give as much on this campaign, but I want every person to make some kind of sacrifice for the life of our parish. This campaign is going to allow us to build a parish life center, a conference center. So if you take the pencil and pledge card and start with the side that has the contact information, please write your name and contact information legibly on the front side of the card. And this is, everybody, please, because you'll see, even if you've already made a pledge, this is one of the ways we're going to keep track of what we already have. Name, address, city, phone number, and email, please. Please also note if you're a registered parishioner or not. We're not going to go after you and try to get you to join the parish, but you're always welcome. And then in section 2, if you would please check a box. The first box says, Amen, I've already made a pledge to the campaign. If you'd write in what your pledge is, just to verify our records. And then if you have checked the box, Amen, just so that we can be sure, if you would, on the right-hand side, say whether your pledge was monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, annually, or a single installment. That's number 5. The second box, yes, I agree to make a pledge today. Then you would go to the right-hand side, to the right-hand side of the card. It says choose from the plans below, or you could write in your own amount, whatever it is, and then fill out 4, 5, and 6 so that we have a clear understanding of exactly what it is you intend to do, form of payment, the terms of the pledge, when you would like to begin the pledge process. Then the third box says praying. That means I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do for the campaign. Or you could check the box no, which I think is hilarious. It's not in bold, right? But you can check the box no if you don't want to participate at all. And then we'll know not to bother you. If you want to have examples of an annual, monthly, or daily sacrifice level, you can turn the card over and see where there's kind of it's broken out as to how much it is a day. If you already made a pledge, check the box by the word Amen, as previously mentioned, and confirm how you would like the pledge fulfilled in sections 5 and 6. If you're writing a check today, please make it out to St. Bernadette, and on the memo line, indicate capital campaign. Also note that you can give with a credit card or through electronic funds transfer through our online giving, Faith Direct. We thank you for your faithful generosity. If you place the card back in the envelope, pass them to the end of the pew so that our volunteers can collect them. I thank you for all that you do for our parish. I know this sounds an awful lot like the Bishop's Lenten Appeal, which is an annual thing that we do for the diocese, but this one is just for us because our parish life really needs this at this time, and it won't happen probably again for another, 15, 20 years. I'll be retired by then, so we thank you for your generosity today.